Welcome. You are listening to the first edition of the Ham Radio podcast, Ham Radio Cooking with Amy Thielen. I'm Heidi Holton from KAXE. What we are bringing you next is a preview conversation when Amy joined us on the KAXE morning show. KAXE is a rural public independent community radio station. We're a national public radio affiliate, and we were the first rural public radio station in the nation in 1976. And we talk about what happens here. We talk about the news, the music, the people, the stories, and so ham radio fits in perfectly. Me personally, I've been wanting to find something new to dig into. I've been at KAXE for about 25 years, and I wanted something creative and different. And when Amy let us know that she was interested in maybe producing a program, I couldn't believe my good luck. There's something that Amy said in the conversation ahead. She talks about food. It's a craft, is how she put it. She said it's a craft that you don't have to actually be doing it to experience it. She said you can be looking at photos or searching the web for a new recipe or eating it, no doubt. And she said that there's a sense of loving and getting excited about food because every day we get hungry and we want something different. We want food that means something to us. Help us out by sharing the podcast and the conversations for Ham Radio Cooking with Amy Thielen. Stay tuned for that preview conversation with Amy. Should we just say the name? Because I'm so in love with the name.
Yes.
You do it. You get to do it.
Okay. So we're going to do a new show. It's Heidi and myself. And it's going to be a cooking show and talking about cooking. Basically a community cookbook on the radio.
Love it.
Yeah.
And we're calling it Ham Radio.
Cooking with Amy Thielen. Oh my gosh. We're so excited by this. Now, Amy is a cookbook author, award-winning, a chef, but most importantly, she lives here, like us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I live in Park Rapids. I was raised in Park Rapids. I moved away for, 10 years, which feels like, a hot minute, and moved back in 2009, and I've been here ever since. So, that's why I really wanted to do this show with you, Heidi. It's like, I want to talk about cooking from here. I've written stuff about cooking and about Midwestern food for a national audience, 3 books, right? And I love doing that. I love talking about the Midwest. I love talking about cooking. But there's this kind of a distance sometimes about when I'm promoting or talking about it to a national audience. And what I really love, and the reason that I started even writing about food or making up recipes or doing any of this, was because I want to talk from here to the people that I love, and I know that they understand cooking. I assume they know how to cook. I assume they're out there doing all these things, digging potatoes, making maple syrup and stuff like that. I know that people are doing that, and I want to celebrate what we do here, and I also want to celebrate our curiosity.
So instead of like this, that's cute what they do in the Midwest. This is like, this is real of what we experience on the day-to-day, and I think especially even in rural places, we're forced to become cooks in areas that maybe we wouldn't if we lived in the city because we have so many restaurants in a city that you can dabble in. But here, if you want the food, you have to make it.
Yeah, we're all kind of forced into this hobby, aren't we? Yes.
So, Amy, we've been getting together. We've been talking a lot. We're figuring this whole thing out. We've had one interview that I pulled a little part of that we want to listen to. Tell us about your connection to Wally.
Wally Hixton. Yes, our first interview, we're interviewing Wally Hixton from Wisconsin, and he makes his own lutefisk and has for 30, 40 years. And when I was interested this winter right before Christmas, I wanted to make lutefisk from scratch, meaning you take dried codfish, stockfish, and go through the whole process of rehydrating it, and it takes about 2 weeks. And this is something that people don't usually do anymore. We buy lutefisk, right? And
do
if we buy it at all, right? Sorry. You just can't help but not dig a little bit at lutefisk. But anyway, when I was interested in learning about it, Olson Fish Company sent me to Wally, and he is the expert. He's the guy who, he knows everything about it. He's been making hundreds of pounds of homemade lutefisk for his community in Wisconsin for many years.
Let's take a listen here.
When I started making it, it was kind of a trial and error. I don't know, because all I had was this recipe, and it didn't really say too much what amount you're supposed to do of anything. So it was kind of trial and error, but it always turned out pretty decent.
When you and your wife were having your Christmases together in the beginning, and you were still buying it from the store, so what caused you to make your own?
Well, we had a couple of bad experiences. She really liked this. She'd eat it 2-3 times a week until probably into March. And then, I don't know, when the weather warmed up, it didn't taste good anymore.
Okay.
But so, I don't know, do you have lutefisk dinners in churches out there?
Oh, yes, we do.
They have them around here, too. And the reason I got into making lutefisk, because we went to one of those.
Okay.
And I suppose there's maybe 8, 10, 12 people sitting by the table. And the lutefisk, they started at the head of the table, and my wife was sitting by the wall.
Okay.
And by the time the plate got down to her, it was empty. And they brought some more, and it was empty again.
Oh.
Kind of made us think about making some of our own, and she could get all she wanted.
Oh, that's so sweet.
There we go. Just a little bit sneak of our friend Wally.
Is that my grandpa? That sounds like my grandpa Clarence. That's so sweet.
I know. I know exactly what he looks like just from hearing that.
So, Amy, we were talking about you making lutefisk last time we talked to you on the morning show. You were in the process of making your lutefisk.
Yeah, it was kind of my baby for a few weeks there. You know, you wake up in the morning, change the water on the lutefisk, and or as Wally says, lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
It was really fun. I mean, you have to use lye, food grade lye, which is sort of thrillingly dangerous, but
why
he walked me through it. Well, you know, lye is it's a base that's corrosive, so it's like, you know, baking soda times what, 10. But yeah, it's what you use to make soap. And as Wally said, you know, at one point, you know, it does get your hands clean. You dip them in there. But so basically, it's like the lutefisk. It's the kind of thing, though, that base, something about it. I don't know exactly the science behind it. But it just causes it to reconstitute and fluff up and just kind of spring up like a sponge before your eyes. And what you're left with, honestly, is basically like flaky cod. So it's kind of a weird, miraculous process that results in tasting like fish you would buy fresh. It's very odd. Super thrilling. I mean, I loved doing it. It was so much fun.
So, Amy, and maybe this is getting too in the weeds of what we're talking about today, but with the lutefisk conversation, how does it go so wrong?
What do you mean?
Because a lot of lutefisk is not great. And or gelatinous. Or, you know, it's not the texture that you're talking about here. So do you know what it is that goes wrong?
That's exactly the question that led me to want to make my own.
Okay.
What is it? And what I found out is that it's overkill on the lye. You know, it's just too much of it because it's made in a small factory, but they make sure that every single piece is completely lied, you know, like in that lye bath. So it gets a little bit, it's too much, and it turns kind of jello-ish. Okay. It starts to kind of break it down. But if you're really careful about it and you do it in this kind of artisanal way, or just like really, you're really careful and you use the recipe that Wally has, which is really dialed in, then it's just kind of perfect. You know, the first time, and I feel like I could have even used a little bit more lye. So next year, I really didn't think I'd be doing this more than 1 year in a row, but somehow I think I might. Yeah, I'll use a little bit more. This is the kind of thing that it's an art form, really, or a craft. It's something you perfect year to year, and you don't make it year round. You just make it, you know, right before Christmas.
Well,
although you could.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you start doing it year-round, we'll maybe stage an intervention or something.
Enough.
I'm not sure about
yeah,
that one.
You might have to.
So, Amy and Heidi, I have a question for you guys about ham radio. What is this show? Is it a call-in show? Is it an interview? Can you talk about what this is going to be?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. It's going to be an interview show. It's a conversation between Heidi and I and the community, all of us. It's cooking on the radio or a community of cooks, you know? I know that everybody is thinking about food around here at some point, like you said, Kari, you know, and we have to cook. And also we source things. We're lucky enough to live close to great ingredients. And people think we're frozen. Even in the winter, we have beautiful meat. We have beautiful fish. We have, you know, people are ice fishing, pulling things up. I'm always amazed at the amount of cool food that is happening here that kind of goes under the radar. So it's going to be an interview show. I'll be interviewing friends far and wide from here and from around the country. And then we're also going to have like a community cook. So we're going to throw out a recipe of the week before. And anybody who wants to make a variation of that, whether it's a great Aunt Laura's variation of that, or it's the one that we post on the web, we're all going to be making, you know, custard, or we're all going to be making things that, you know, something that interests us. And then we're going to have call in. Heidi, maybe you can talk about that.
It's just going to be so much fun. Like, as we have been brainstorming about this, I assume because I, you know, the esteemed Amy Thielen wants to do this. So I'm like, okay, so you're going to give advice to people about cooking. And she immediately was like, no. And I'm like, okay, don't need to be mean to me, Amy. But what she said,
sorry,
rude. What she said to me was that this is really about people sharing stories, and that a lot of people from up here don't necessarily want advice. They want to tell you how they make this thing. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I assume, and I this is what I know after having written two cookbooks and put them out there and, you know, publicized and listen to feedback, is that people do know how to cook. What people want from sharing recipes is, for one thing, validation. Like, yes, that's how I do it, or I do it similarly. And what's amazing about cooking is that it is a craft that you don't actually have to be doing to experience it. You know what I mean? You could be thinking about it, reading about it, looking at photos of great food on the internet, and you're still feeling that creative juice. And that's, I think, that's the sense of loving it and getting excited about it, because, you know, hunger just comes back every day. And it's good for us, I think, to be connected to what we're desiring and want to eat and what we're hungry for in a lot of ways, but definitely for food. So that's what I want to tap into. And I think that it'll be just a great time. I'm really excited about it.
So Ludafisk, that was your most recent project. What's the next project cooking that you're looking forward to, that you're excited about, Amy?
Well, we're going to be making custard in the spring here. Excited about that. I just made a homemade toaster strudel last week. That was really, ooh, really fun. And that's a, yum, you know, something to explore. I love doughs, different kinds of doughs. It's incredible how just 3-4 ingredients, flour, butter, water, egg, can be combined into just multitudes of things.
And how the feel is so different of all of those, the different doughs.
Yeah, it's very instinctual. Mm-hmm. It is kind of scientific, but it's also the kind of the hand you bring to it and the habit. And so I do want to talk about pastry too.
Egg doughs are my favorite to work with. I don't make them very often. That's not where I live with the doughs that I do make, but the springiness and they're so soft and luxurious.
Oh, like that kind of like a coffee cake or like a brioche, or yes, I know, I love that too. What's amazing about cooking is that it is a craft that you don't actually have to be doing to experience it. You know what I mean? You could be thinking about it, reading about it, looking at photos of great food on the internet, and you're still feeling that creative juice. And that's, I think, that's the sense of loving it and getting excited about it, because, you know, hunger just comes back every day. And it's good for us, I think, to be connected to what we're desiring and want to eat and what we're hungry for in a lot of ways, but definitely for food. So that's what I want to tap into. And I think that it'll be just a great time. I'm really excited about it.
So, Amy, why is a station like KEXE important to life here in northern Minnesota?
It's just a precious resource. Ever since I moved back here, I am a longtime listener of KEXE, KBXE. I have given and, you know, I love to hear the gong. One time some friends who live about 20 minutes away, which, you know, around here is a neighbor, we heard them donate. And so then my husband, Aaron, and I called in to kind of be their response call and get this kind of chain going of giving to a resource that we use. I use it all the time. I love listening to your voices in the morning. I love that, you know, it's really high quality journalism, breaking news stories like the story that you just posted and aired about Red Lake and the prison. You know, like, you're not going to hear that everywhere. And with the news being like really so intense, and also it starts to kind of all be the same cascading story. All, you know, I'm of an age where I remember that it was nightly news was the nightly news. And now it is so different. And I just feel like everybody's just kind of on everybody else's tailcoats. And when I tune into KAXE, KBXE, and when I read your site on the web, which I also do, I'm going to find something different. And also, I am listening to your voices because I feel like all this time, after all these years, you're kind of friends, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I really feel like, I mean, Heidi, you are my friend. Mm-hmm. We've just started talking the last few, you know, couple months. But I feel like I've known you for a really long time because I've been listening to you and I trust you. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your sense of humor also.
What?
But so, Amy, you live here, but you yes. are an accomplished chef who you could have gotten a show at a lot of other outlets. Why work with us?
I wanted to work with you. I ran into Jen Kellen and at an art opening in Park Rapids, and it was just like something I've been thinking about for a long time, because my whole career really started when I moved back. I mean, I was a chef in New York City for 10 years. So I cooked at a high level, fine dining, you know, and I thought that I was going to do that. But then I had a son, my husband and I moved back home, and I realized that I wanted to cook in a different way, which was to write about it and to make cookbooks and to get into that kind of space, media space. And I was a writer from, you know, since college, sort of. But the first thing that I did in order to kind of get back into writing was I took a column in the Park Rapids Enterprise. And it was a weekly column that I wrote, and I did an original recipe and a kind of terrible photo at that time. This was many years ago. This was in 2008, 9, 10. And they paid me $20 a week, which was, I mean, ridiculous. But I was happy to have the column. And what it taught me was that I needed to write to the people of my hometown to reconnect and get this kind of dialogue going. I realized that when you send a column, and I would write about like woodchucks in the garden or basically anything on my mind, okay? And I had such a great immediate response. People in the community would just start talking to me as if we knew each other, because I had written the column and they would be talking to me about it. You know, I was at a diner and some woman said to me, she's like, "Hey, I just want you to know something." And she kind of gave me a cross look and I was like, "Oh, here it comes." And she said, I had posted this recipe for a birch de Noël, which is like this, you know, a bûche de Noël? It's like it's a rolled tree cake. It looks like a tree. And I had made one that looked like a birch log. And it was an ambitious project. And she just looked at me and she goes, "I just want you to know, I'm never going to make that cake."
You were on Martha Stewart's level. She wanted Better Homes and Gardens.
Right. And I had to laugh and I was like, really? Why not? And she's like, it's way too hard. And that's the kind of feedback I loved. And she said, what I want you to make is a banana bread. And so, like, you know, the next week, 2 weeks later, I did. And I didn't mention her, but she knew it was for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the guys who would stop me in the store and say, hey, you got to put some venison recipes in, I would give them. You know, so there was this dialogue. And that's what I crave. That's what I think is so powerful. And that's what you guys have here. And that's why I wanted to work with you.
Amy, thank you so much for your time. I'll be in touch. We got a lot of work to do and we're so excited.
Can't wait for Ham Radio.
Yeah.
I'm so excited too.
Thanks so much.
Thanks you guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're going to hear the full conversation with Wally and learn how to babysit lutefisk all yourself in our first edition of Ham Radio Cooking with Amy Thielen. Our theme music licensed and written and produced by Jeremy Messersmith. Thanks to the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund of Minnesota for funding support for this program and podcast. Podcast support from Chelsea Perkins, Lori Shaw, Sarah Bignall, and Peggy Stevens. Tune in for the next Ham Radio, coming soon.